This is the audio version of the book Jailer by Acharya Vijay Abhishekar Suriji Maharaj in the voice of Rahul Kapoor Jain. Chapter 1, Jailer. Question: if the other person troubles us at every step without a reason and tantamounts to gross injustice, for how long does one bear injustice? Answer: are we interested in justice or a reconciliation? Where justice is done, there is happiness in the home in whose favor the judgment is passed. Whereas in case of reconciliation, there is happiness and satisfaction in both the homes. Karmasatta believes in justice. In his birth as Triprushta Vasudev, the soul of Lord Mahavir had extremely hot molten lead poured into the guard's ears. So in his last birth, Karmasatta meted out justice by putting nails into his ears. Dharmasatta believes in a reconciliation. Lord Mahavir bore the terrible pain with extraordinary equanimity, reconciled to the fact that it was a punishment for his past crimes. Let it be reiterated that Karmasatta believes in giving pain to the souls, while Dharmasatta believes in making souls happy. Shouldn't we decide which one we prefer? There is nothing like injustice in the reign of nature. The question, why should only I suffer, is absolutely misplaced. On the other hand, the jailer is not confined to a dark, dingy cell, is not beaten, does not toil. Is this type of an attitude by a prisoner justified? Why do I have to bear the pain of surgery while the doctor does not have to bear any pain? Does the patient have a right to raise a question like this? What is the meaning of such a question when the karmas in the form of an abscess or tumor are being removed? The minister ordered Khandaksuri's 500 disciples to be crushed in an oil mill. The disciples did not see injustice even in the unbearable pain that they had to endure, which resulted in their death. They all attained Keval Gyan and ultimately liberation. The guru, on the other hand, considered this to be gross injustice and was punished because of this, to undergo cycles of birth and death. He requested the minister, "I will not be able to see the child monk being crushed in the oil mill. Therefore, you crush me first and then the child monk." However, the minister wanted to cause maximum harassment to Khandaksuri, so he refused to oblige. He crushed the child monk first. Khandaksuri thought, "You crushed 499 of my disciples for no fault of theirs, and yet I did not utter a word. This was my last and only request. How could you turn even that down? This was a flagrant injustice on your part, and on the part of the citizens who quietly watched this injustice being carried out and did not prevent it." When the mind sees injustice, it is unable to endure it, and yet one can do nothing about it. That is why when one is forced to bear it, the mind is all set to avenge it. Even Khandaksuri prepared to take revenge. He vowed to punish the minister, the king who encouraged the minister, and all citizens who helped in abetment of injustice by not opposing it, thereby becoming an instrument of their destruction. This vow became a niyano. What was the outcome? Did nature reward him or punish him? This fact is quite well known. Sangam Dev inflicted 20 types of grievous physical sufferings on Lord Mahavir in just one night and harassed the Lord for 6 months. The Lord did not deem it as injustice. Was the Lord any worse for it? Just as Karmasatta is extremely cruel in dispensing punishment, inversely, it is extremely merciful in forgiving and mitigating the punishment. If we bear punishment for one crime calmly, Karmasatta forgives our abundant other trespasses. Every day, the jailer makes the prisoner labor strenuously, beats him with a whip. The prisoner does all the work assigned to him like an obedient servant. He even takes the beating quietly. This routine goes on every day. Whosoever witnesses these occurrences within the jail will feel that the jailer is being unjust. The person who will take a perception outside the walls of the jail and takes an overall view of the prisoner's crime and punishment allotted to him will only see justice. The same applies here. Whosoever is complaining that a grave injustice is being done to him should understand that the present life is a jail. In the current jail, you may not have committed any wrong, but do not limit your vision to this jail. Extend it to your past lives, crimes committed during those lives, and the punishment due to you. You will then understand that there is no injustice. If it seems like justice, the mind will be ready to accept the punishment and will bear it with composure. Even the scholars from the Western world have started accepting this kind of justice. Let us examine a few examples. Following are a few excerpts from the book The Power Within, authored by Dr. Alexander Kane, who had conducted a study of past lives of more than 1,000 people based on hypnotic trance. In the book, he posed this question: can one attain a chosen birth? While experimenting with regression, the answer to this question was got in the negative. The next birth is never the one chosen by you. It depends on the way you lead the present life. By pointing out how a person becomes unhappy in this life for any misdeeds committed in the past lives by the law of action-reaction, the study of past lives indicates that perfect justice pervades nature. Why am I facing troubles one after another? When one examines the past life of the person making this complaint, one comprehends that he must have committed some wicked karmas. Another person's life seems to be smooth sailing, in spite of him behaving as he pleased. This could be rewards for the good deeds committed by him in the past life. There is a demand in Western world to accept principle of karma and rebirth because of psychological research. Dr. Paul Brunton avers in his book, The Hidden Teaching Beyond Yoga, that karma is a scientific principle which is adopted by religions of Asia. It was accepted even in Europe, but 500 years after Jesus, the Council of Constantinople removed it from Jesus' preachings. This way, some foolish people deprived Western world of this scientific doctrine, but time has now come to re-establish this principle. It is the duty of all governments, politicians, teachers, and religious teachers to give stimulus to this movement. When the human being realizes that he cannot save himself from the reactions of his behavior or activities, he will become careful about the activities he undertakes. He will also become vigilant about his thoughts. When he realizes that aversion and hatred are such deadly weapons that not only harm the person whom they are directed at, but they rebound and injure the person using them, then he will think several times before attaching any import to the misdeeds. From this understanding will arise a very strong moral way of life. It is very important for the Western world to adopt the doctrine of karma and rebirth, and that too immediately. These truths make human beings and a country aware of the moral responsibilities which no impropriety or other beliefs can. There are no complaints in the life of a person who accepts this justice. His life becomes calm, composed, and natural. As a consequence, he will be able to accept any inconsistency in his life without lament. A prisoner with an easy sentence does not do any laborious work in the jail. A person who is sentenced to rigorous imprisonment has to labor till it tires him out completely. Yet, does he complain? He accepts it. Tell your daughter who is complaining against her mother-in-law that if she wishes nature to award her a grand prize, she should truthfully accept her own misdeeds. If she does not wish to be punished, she should not think of her mother-in-law to be evil. Question: if our daughter is disobedient, is not industrious, is lazy, spoils the work for which she had no talent, is back answering, it is understandable to consider mother-in-law not evil even if she is harassed. However, if a daughter is being harassed by the mother-in-law despite being obedient, diligent, proficient in all her work, and so humble as never to back answer her mother-in-law, it is hard not to see the mother-in-law as detestable. These incidences are common occurrence. One may not be at fault, may not have committed any mistake, but if the other person has a wrong notion about you, considers you to be evil and a cause of harassment, it is very difficult to pacify that person otherwise. At the same time, how do you convince your heart that the person for whom you have made sacrifices with body, mind, soul, and wealth have borne many difficulties and bitter insults and considered important matters as trivials in their time of need, is out to harass you in all possible ways. Answer: the jailer is never evil. The jailer makes the prisoner do laborious work and orders him thus: break all these rocks, grind all the grains, sweep the entire jail. Day in and day out, the prisoner toils without any argument, like an obedient servant, and bears all the strikes calmly. Would this jailer be considered evil? Imagine an unknown person who has no clue about what a court, crime, or punishment are, or what a jail and jailer are. This person will observe the jailer is making the prisoner work so hard, although the latter in his eyes is gentle, simple-hearted, and does everything without any argument. Yet the jailer hits the prisoner with a whip every day and harasses him all the time. To a person who has no knowledge about a jail, a jailer, a court, the jailer must seem like a wicked person. He who has no perception of previous birth, crimes, the court of Karmasatta, punishments given by the court, and all the related souls who act as jailers, may think of all souls inflicting affliction as evil. However, if he is aware of everything, he will consider the soul inflicting pain as only a jailer and not a wrongdoer. Query: does this mean the knowledge of Karmasatta becomes detrimental? Can one assume the person who is ignorant about it will consider the giver of pain as a jailer, and therefore even if he opposes the jailer, his punishment will not be enhanced? On the other hand, can one presume that the punishment of the person in the know will be increased if he opposes, as he must consider the giver of pain as a jailer? Solution: ignorance is not an excuse. A person who does not consider the pain giver as a jailer and therefore thinks him to be wicked will surely be punished. In the same way, a person who retaliates cannot escape a punishment accorded by Karmasatta just because he is ignorant about it. Whenever we see someone being punished, like a father hitting a child or an animal with a wooden yoke around its neck, we start assuming the crime that they might have committed. However, is it fair on our part not to imagine our wrongdoing when we are punished? Whatever we do not like, but yet we have to undergo, is definitely a punishment. And if there is a punishment, there has to be a corresponding crime. If it is so, there also has to be some authority or court of nature who dispenses punishments. Otherwise, there would be a total mayhem and absence of law and order. There would be theft, plundering, violence, and killing all around. If there is a court appointed by nature, there also has to be a jailer to carry out the order of the punishment. If we do not even bother to know and understand the above, that in itself becomes a crime. Hence, ignorance is not an excuse. One thing is established, that whether one has the knowledge about the court of Karmasatta or not, the person inflicting afflictions is the jailer. Nothing more, nothing less, and that a jailer is never cruel. It is possible that a jailer of the worldly court may give you 11 blows instead of 10, but a jailer in the court of Karmasatta cannot increase the punishment even by a degree. He is empowered to give a punishment only to the extent that has been ordered by Karmasatta. Then how can one consider him to be evil? Also, there is no rule that a jailer is always stronger than a prisoner. A jailer may be weaker, leaner than a more athletic, stronger, ferocious prisoner, and yet he has to strike the prisoner. Brahma Chakravarti was a ruler of 6 continents, possessor of 14 gems and 9 nidhans. 16,000 demigods were always eager to serve and protect him. Can one imagine the number of bodyguards that would be around him in his royal procession in his own capital? Yet a boy who was a tribal living in the jungles blinded him in both his eyes with merely stones thrown with a sling. Is this possible? We can concur that such incidents suggest that it must definitely be the weaker jailer who is harassing the stronger person. Otherwise, how is such a thing possible without his authority as a jailer or without the backing of the court? So it can be affirmed that the person causing harassment is the jailer, and the jailer is never evil. If the court so orders, he may even impale a criminal on a stake, and yet he is not wicked. He may even take someone's life if the Karmasatta so orders. The person abusing is a jailer. The person slapping is a jailer. The person falsely accusing is a jailer. The person insulting at every step is a jailer. The person belittling you is a jailer. The person demeaning you is a jailer. The person causing a loss of property is a jailer. The person causing trouble in business is a jailer. The person causing bodily harm is a jailer. If a person gives us a lot of trouble, harasses us time and again, and causes a nuisance, we nurture a feeling of anger and revenge towards him. We feel like doing something really unimaginable, but are unable to do it. This upsets and agitates our mind. Such a person, whatever his name may be, is only the jailer and is not evil. One should turn the rosary at least once during the day, accepting the role of the jailer and one's own karmas to be sinful, till such a time that one's hatred towards the person is destroyed. Let me throw some light on another special quality. On the show Kaun Banega Crorepati, a correct answer is rewarded once, not over and over again, even though the answer might be repeated. However, in the game show of nature, you get rewarded as many times as you keep answering correctly. The neighbor is a jailer. The neighbor is not evil. It is my karmas which are evil. Why would the neighbor harm me unless my karmas are sinful? You will be rewarded as often as you repeat this. Nature keeps adding reward to your accounts because these are correct answers. As against this, as many times as you think that the neighbor is a rogue, he is evil, he harasses me all the time, nature keeps adding punishment to your account because these answers are incorrect. One fact has to be understood, that no authority in the world, no organization, or no affluent person can give you a reward which is as grand as the one nature confers on you. In the same manner, no authority in the world, no court, or no enemy can punish you as severely as nature. In short, the power of nature to either present you with a reward or to inflict a penalty is immeasurable. Would you rather have a generous reward or a terrible penalty from the nature? This decision is entirely up to you.